past was silenced at your command. When my broken heart was healed in the palm of your hand, and you swallowed death, you overwhelmed me with life, and you made your blood and my pain.
Now I run
again. Say you're everything. You're everything. You're all I need. You're all I need. Oh,
no one who carried the cross carries me.
Say it again. Say you're everything. Yes.
Thank you.
Such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. You know, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. I just want to encourage you this morning that everyone here is called by God and has a purpose. Everyone. You may wonder why you're here this morning, because God has a purpose. He has a purpose for your life. And God desires to fulfill that purpose in your life. I remember around 17 years ago, Sister Vicki Blankenship at the time came here and began to preach and minister to Calvary Gospel Church. And she's been coming every year for 17 years. And 4 years ago, she moved here. And about a year ago, or not quite a year ago, she met a strapping young buck. They were married, and now they're here together. And you know what they're doing? They're fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. That's what I love about how God works. God works fulfilling purpose. So I want Brother Ben to come. He's going to start off this morning. They're going to be ministering to us, Brother Ben Vernon. Appreciate you. Come fulfill your purpose.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful day to be a part of the Church of the Living God? Amen. I know I've just been coming probably about 7 months now. Amen. And some of you know me, and some of you probably get to know me, but love you. Love the pastor. Thank you, pastor, for the opportunity. You know, I'm a firm believer in being submissive to my pastor. How many can just give our pastor a hand this morning? Amen. Amen. Better yet, how many can lift your voice this morning and say, I love you, pastor? There you go. Amen. Because there's an order, you know, and the anointing flows. And it flows from Christ to the pastor and then to all of us. Amen. There's an order of things. Amen. But I love the Lord this morning. Amen. Y'all can be seated. And it's just a privilege to be able to stand this morning before you. Amen. And to be a part of this congregation. Amen. And I mean, I just want to testify for the Lord this morning. And anything I say, I want it to be uplifting to the church, to all of you. Amen. But I especially love the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That name that Apostle Paul stood before King Agrippa. And he said, oh, King, I thought to be contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He persecuted the church. He killed some of them, had them put in prison. But he thought he was doing away with a sect of people that was a threat to what he believed. Only he said, I didn't realize that I was doing it to your name. Because Jesus told him, he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, but it's not you, it's the people. That's what Paul was saying. But he said, Lord, who are you? In other words, God, who are you? If you don't understand the name of the Father, just read that scripture when he said, Lord. And the scripture says, hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one. Right? All through the Old Testament, the scripture says, the Lord, he is God. And when Paul said, Lord, who are you? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Amen. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Amen. That name that every knee is going to bow to, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. That name that the scripture says in Revelation that is in our foreheads. I don't see a name written in your forehead. But when you were baptized in that name, you took on the name of your Heavenly Father. Here on earth, we have a birth certificate when we were born, and our Father's name is on our birth certificate. In heaven, when you're born again of the water and the Spirit, your Heavenly Father's name is on your birth certificate. And I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is the name on my spiritual birth certificate. I'm glad to be called, amen, by that worthy name. Amen. It's a wonderful name. I love the name of Jesus. You know, you can call on every name there is and nothing's going to happen. You call on that name and it's more powerful than any atomic bomb that could ever be dropped. There is no name that's sweeter than the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And all that will call upon that name, the scripture says, shall be delivered. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're facing. That name will deliver you. Amen. That name will give you peace. There's healing in that name. Amen. Hallelujah. There's salvation in no other name. There's no other name given in heaven, under heaven, in earth, among men, whereby men shall be saved. No other name. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful today, amen, to be a part of the church of the living God and to know that lovely, holy name. Amen. And today, this morning, I just want to introduce my wife, Sister Vicki, as she comes and ministers for you today, and God is going to bless in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. It dawned on me today that when you have a mask on, you just have to talk a little louder. So when we worship, we have to worship a little louder. I'm so happy for the people that got out of their seats and came up here and got a fire lit today. Let's just acknowledge that. Because a lot of us want to do that, and we just don't. We just kind of stay back. And the group back here, the cool people where I always sit, sorry, look at them. They're all clustered together over there. The cool people, they know when I'm back there, they know I'm there. Because I'm not doing it up here, but I'm doing it back there. We came to praise Him today. So through the mask, you got to praise a little louder. Lift your voice a little louder. Hallelujah. We came to praise Him. This is our day. This is Sunday. You can't shut up the people of God when they come to worship the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I came to praise Him today. He's good. He's on the throne. He's high and lifted up. I want His train to fill the temple today. I want to feel His glory. I want to see healings and signs and miracles. I want to see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. We're still the church. We're still the church. Jesus is coming back. This could be our last service before He comes. That's why I'm so excited. It's about to happen, folks. What we've waited for is about to happen. Jesus is coming. Boy, how I love you. I'd rather be here than anywhere else on earth. Let me tell you something really cool. You know how we always say you can't be in two places at the same time? You ever say that? Can't be in two places at the same time. Well, what the devil meant for evil, the Lord always turns around for good. And today, I'm in two places at the same time. Because I recorded a message for a church in Belfalto, Illinois. And they're watching that right now, worshiping the Lord. So I'm here and I'm there. Isn't that cool? The devil thought he would shut us up. But now all of a sudden, we can be in two or three places at the same time. Isn't that awesome? Oh, how I love the Lord. I'm so happy to be with you. I'm going to try to hurry and not keep it too long. Sometimes I know I'm a little lengthy. And I'm going to try not to be, but I'll watch your body language. I'll know when you're done with me. My daddy was quite a character. That's what people referred to him as, a character. And he always mortified my mother because she was very prim and proper. She was a city girl. My dad was a country boy. And my dad would stand back in the days when they had testimony services. You remember, anybody remember the testimony service? We did away with those because of people like my dad. He stood up one night and he gave a testimony. He said, you know, we have a long-winded preacher sometimes. He said, but I'll tell you what to do. Get you one of those Starlight mints, those peppermints. And when the preacher gets up to preach, you put that in your mouth. Now, my dad used a word that's not really a word. Wallard. At least I don't think it is. He said, I put that peppermint in my mouth and I waller it around. And I just waller it around, and then when it's gone, I'm done. I'm going to get dinner. If he's not done, too bad. Because he should be done by the time I'm finished with that. And he's testifying now. My mom has her head down like this. And he said, but the other night I put one of those peppermints in my mouth and I wallered it around and wallered it around, and it didn't disappear. And he said the preacher just kept preaching, and an hour went by and he kept preaching and a little longer. And he said, finally, I spit that thing out in my mouth. It was the button off my suit coat. That preacher never would have gotten done. That was my daddy. So I just heard Pastor unwrapping a Starlight mint. I have very keen hearing. And he put it in his mouth. So I guess when it's done, I'll be done. So we better hurry right along here. But I just wanted to hear you laugh. See, you got some medicine for the week. That's what laughter does. Would you stand to your feet and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 42. We're going to start with verse 5. Thank you, Pastor Roy, for allowing me this opportunity, this honor to minister to the congregation today. And I'm under your covering, the covering of my precious husband. Thank you, Brother Seidel, for your leadership in this church. All the other leaders, Pastor Phil. If I start naming names of the people I really reverence and honor today, I'll run out of time, Brother Jerry. So many here today. I love you. And I'm so happy to be a part of the family of God. This is a family. You know, we need to cut each other slack. We need to pray for one another. Have one another's back. You know, when I'm down, I need you. I don't need you to talk about me. I need you. And you know what? You have done that for me. I moved here 4 years ago broken. And you loved me. Now let's do that for somebody else. Till they get through their hard time. Amen? That's what we do for one another. And I thank you for that. Psalm 42. And verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? But why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. For your hearing today, the Lord gave me this message entitled, Quarrel with Your Soul. Quarrel with your soul. You may be seated. A quarrel is a heated argument or disagreement, typically about a trivial issue and between two people who are usually on good terms. The Lord spoke that word to me when I was preparing this message. He didn't say fight with your soul. He didn't say argue with your soul. He spoke to me quarrel with your soul, because generally my soul and I get along pretty good. A quarrel is a dispute between to people that don't usually quarrel. That's different than an argument. Usually my soul and I get along great and I don't have to talk to my own soul. And we don't often talk to our own selves, our own souls. People think you're crazy. Or when we do it, we're usually alone and we don't want anyone to know about it when you find yourself talking out loud. But today, I believe the Lord wants to draw our attention to this scripture. David was always in a mess. One or the other kind of mess. Someone chasing him, an impending battle, a failure, a moral failure, sin in his life. Sound familiar? Anybody ever have any of those things? Sure, such were some of you, you and I. We're human, we're flesh, we live in this flesh. But David always did one thing, he acknowledged God. Whatever state he found himself in, he didn't fail to remember God. And he's giving us some advice here, hidden away in this psalm. And he says that saying more than once, more than twice, even a third time in the 43rd psalm. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He asks his soul a question. He knows why. He's hurting. He's going through the fire. He's going through a lot of things. He knows what the reason is, but why is he quarreling with his soul? Because he turns the corner and says, wait a minute, soul. Don't you remember two things? Who God is. And that if you'll just praise him in the midst of your trouble, your sin, your battle, whatever you're facing, he always comes through. Don't you remember that he's the health of your countenance? He'll put a smile back on your face. Don't you remember, soul, what you've already been through and what he brought you out of? Every once in a while, we need to read our own book and go back and remember what God has done for us. We have to look back as David did and said, I remember when he delivered me back there and he's going to do it again. He's never failed us one time. Why would we be disquieted? Why would we mourn? Why would we weep today about anything? David found himself in a particular mess. And cutting this story very short and to the chase here, he was running from Saul. He decided to join the Philistine army. He took his men. They left their wives and children back at home. And they went to join the Philistine army. They got there. They were denied. The Philistine army said, no, we're not joining forces with you. I'm sure David didn't like that answer. A lot of times we're given an answer we don't like. He said, I thought this is what God wanted me to do. Why, you know, why in the world? Well, it's a good thing that the Philistine army said no, because it got David back to camp a whole lot earlier. And what he came back to was his two wives were missing and all the wives and children of his men were missing. And it was on fire. And all of his goods were gone, everything he owned, and everything else going up in flames. And here's two negative things happened in a row. You ever realize when it rains, it pours? Always. He's like, first they deny me. I've got Saul chasing me. And I come home, and I come home to this. Everything's burnt up. Everything's missing. My wives have been kidnapped. All the wives and children of my men, I'm responsible. And right at that moment is when David said, wait a minute, familiar portion of scripture. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Quit looking to somebody else to always lift you up. David, in his worst mess, said, wait a minute, I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to talk to my soul. Wait a minute, soul, don't you remember what God has always done? And he's going to do it again. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know he's got an answer. And so I'm going to just praise him for it in advance. If we would get a hold of something today and make up our mind, you know what? I'm going to praise the Lord through my mask for the end of this COVID mess. I'm going to praise him that we're going to get this thing behind us and we're going to have church again. And the folks are going to be Hallelujah. Faith means praising him for it before you see it. But you got to have a quarrel with your soul first. Because your soul wants to sit down and say, oh man, this is awful. Everything's awful. We could list the things that are awful today. I'm not going to list them. I'm not going to bring negative to this pulpit. Because there's too many good things. And if you have to just look back and grab a hold of a past miracle to bring yourself out of it and put a smile on your face and begin to worship him for what he's going to do, then that's what we need to do today. Hallelujah. He just wants us to praise him. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, David took his men and they headed out. They really didn't know exactly where they were going. All of a sudden, they see this sick Egyptian on the side of the road. He was a servant to the opposing army, the army that just burned up his camp and took his wives. David could have said, you scum of the earth. You're part of the Amalekites. I hope you die there. But he didn't. Because you treat people right even when they don't treat you right. That's what we do. It's never wrong to do what's right. He didn't kick him. Quit kicking people when they're down. Quit believing everything you hear and everything you read, everything people say. You know what? He asked the man, why are you here? What's going on? He could tell by the look of him. He was ready to die. He'd been there for days. He was sick. The army left him behind because he was sick. David said, oh, you're from the army that burned the camp and took my wife, so you know where they went. The man said, yes, I do. David gave him some bread, gave him some water, the Bible said. I thought this was so cool. They brought out the raisins. And they didn't stop there. They gave him dessert. The Bible said they gave him fig cake. Very specific. Didn't just give him enough to barely make it. Here's a little bread and water. Now tell us where they are. No, they laid out the whole spread for him. Here, have some fig cake. That's what you do for your enemies. You just give it all to them. You forgive them. You lay them before the throne of grace. You forgive and you go on loving and doing what's right no matter what other people do. You want your miracle? It's on the way. Just do what's right. Truth always rises to the top. Always. So once the guy got a little strength, he said, yeah, I'll tell you right where they are. Just don't throw me into the bus. Don't let them know I told you. Okay, we won't. Let them ride into that camp. David got his wives back unharmed because they were so busy eating and partying that they hadn't done any damage yet. David got in there and got his wives. All the wives and children of his men got back a bunch of their stuff. Why? Because if you do what's right, if you follow the leading of the Lord, if you don't question, you just have faith and praise your way through the trial, everything always comes out all right. Hallelujah. I love that story, especially the part about the fig cake. I have found that he will take care of me. Oh, yes. I was on the airplane one time, and a man got out of his seat in front of me, a businessman, and he took his luggage down from the top up there, and he set it down behind him. He was in a hurry. They were deplaning, and I had just stood up behind him and had my purse on my arm, and when he took that out of the container up above, he dropped it behind him, pulled the handle, and went on out. The only thing is he didn't look where he dropped it, and he dropped it on the top of my foot. I don't know why he was carrying a whole suitcase full of heavy rocks. He must have been a scientist, but that's what it felt like, and when it hit the top of my foot, I knew it was serious. And I doubled over in pain. I squealed. He didn't even look back. He just went on. He didn't even know he had hurt me. There's another message in that. You can preach that one to yourself later. He didn't even know that he hurt me. He went right on, and I'm limping. I can't put any weight on that foot, and I'm holding on to things, and it was just horrible. I got in the rental car, went to the hotel. Now my foot is purple. It's throbbing. I can't get a shoe on it. I go to church that night. I minister hobbling around in slippers. I finally, 3 or 4 days later, give in and go to the ER. They x-ray. They say the bone is fractured. You've got a fracture. Well, I'm out ministering. I've got purpose. I got to do what I'm doing. And so I just go buy slippers in every color. You know how I am about matchy tacky. So I just buy slippers in every color, and I have 4 camps, 4 junior youth camps. One was here in Wisconsin, 4 weeks in a row. And I'm up ministering night after night after night. And you know what? There's something about the anointing. I think it's the closest to the glorified body we can get down here. Because when you are anointed of the Holy Ghost, you don't have any pain. If you could just make it to the pulpit, I've almost crawled to the pulpit. If you could just get here, when you're here and the anointing hits you, there's no pain in your body. I would minister and just give that altar call for the children, and they would come and they'd get the Holy Ghost, and God was moving. And then when I got back to that room, I'd cry myself to sleep. I was taking handfuls of ibuprofen. I was pleading with God. And my foot purple and swollen, I went back to the orthopedic doctor. He said, now you have walked on this too long. You have messed the bone up. We're going to have to go in, re-break it, put a pin in it, and set an appointment. I don't have time for this. I said, God, I don't have time for this. I'm going to have to come off the road probably 6 weeks. I've got things to do for you. You need to heal this. You know, I like to tell you, he said, okay. Very seldom does he say, okay, because he's got a plan. There may be an Egyptian by the side of the road somewhere. And so I kept limping and crying and walking and doing what God called me to do. And I was in that 4th week of camp when I am up in the pulpit and the power of God is falling. And people are talking in tongues and shouting. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to me and he said, if you will run 1 lap around this building, I will heal your foot. I don't run. The only time I think I would run if a lion was chasing me or something. I don't run, especially now, but even then I didn't run. I think it's wonderful people that can run. I admire Brother Larry that he can run like that. That's probably why he's nice and trim. He gets his exercise. I don't. Nothing wrong with running. Let me insert here too. If you ever want to worship the Lord any way other than what you've done before, it's okay. Nobody's here is going to judge you when the power of God hits you and you get out in the aisle and do a little dance. There's nothing wrong with worshiping him with your body, with your hands, your mouth, your feet. However, you know, we kind of have gotten a little too quiet. They didn't get quiet when they went to the ball game and their team is playing. They're not quiet then. They're fans. They haven't changed the way they worship their fan. Because they're fans. They have heroes. We have Jesus. And yet, we have kind of gotten a little quiet. Now, I'll just tell you, and I'm going to remember where I was in that story. I lost self-control a few weeks ago. We were in a service, and the only thing that saved my hide, Brother Ben Vernon had his phone on the pew, and he was up here, or you would have been seeing this video. Because I lost control. You know, losing self-control isn't always a bad thing. That means flesh gets out of the way. The power of God hit me, and I shouted, and it was one of those shout your hair down things. I shouted and danced across the front before I knew what was happening. I felt liberty. We need some liberty in this last hour. We need to let loose and worship a little bit better, a little more like we used to worship. We don't have to muzzle ourselves and sit back when we feel like worshiping. I'm telling you, it was liberating. And I was worshiping the Lord for something I hadn't seen happen yet when the power of God hit me like that. It was the Lord saying, girlie, I got this. I'm taking care of you. I'm taking care of this. I thought for a moment when the Lord said, run 1 lap around the church. Everybody knew I'm hobbling around in slippers. I knew it's going to freak everybody out. The Lord said, I'll heal you. So all of a sudden I thought, what does it matter what everybody thinks? I knew that I heard the voice of the Lord. So I threw the microphone down. I took one lap around the sanctuary and everybody was going. I mean, I kicked my slippers off. I ran one lap around the sanctuary, and when my feet touched the platform, all of a sudden the pain was gone. I looked down. It wasn't purple. It wasn't blue. It was already smaller in size. God had immediately healed my body. We need to look back and remember what He has done. I took that x-ray in, and that orthopedic surgeon hung it up there on the little mirror thing, the little light thing, and he had them take me out and take another x-ray, and I'm just waiting. They brought it in and hung it side by side, and he said, take her out now and do one standing up, and third one, and finally, I said, you can stop taking pictures. He said, well, where did you get this first x-ray? He said, they don't look like the same feet. He said, because even if it had healed on its own, there would be a hairline. You would know that it had been broken. This foot has never been broken. Hallelujah. A testimony as to what God will do. Will He do it for you? Sure He will. Will He do it for me again? Sure He will. If He's done it in the past, He'll do it again. I'm not telling you about something happened to somebody else. It happened to me. I've never had any pain in that foot since. Hallelujah. I got to have a quarrel with my soul when I don't feel good. Remember how God did it before? Soul, don't be disquieted, soul. Remember what God's done. He'll do it again. I get antsy, you know, sometimes when things look thin and lean financially. Anybody ever worry about that here lately? Go to sleep thinking about your job and wake up thinking about your job. And the devil says you're going to lose your business through all of this. And you're not going to have money. And you got a family to take care of. And anybody having that battle? Some of you are not too proud to say, I'm having that battle. That's a normal battle right now. You think you're having a battle. What do you think the world's going through? Because they don't know what we know. That you'll never see the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. That he's going to take care of you. You're his kid. He's going to always provide according to his riches and glory. I was having one of those moments. After all, things were lean. I was paying my tithe. Sometimes even when you're paying your tithe and doing what's right, you still have lean times. Sometimes you're abased. Sometimes you abound. Scripture says. I was in one of those low times. That's when you learn to trust Him. And I had this old van. I was just starting out in full-time ministry. And this old van had a problem. And I don't know a lot about vehicles, but I learned a lot during that trial that there is a belt underneath the hood called the serpentine belt. Some people say serpentine. I don't really care how you say it, but it's like a snake under there. And it runs everything. And if it breaks, you go nowhere. And that belt on this van kept breaking. I kept having to replace it. My mechanic said I've never seen anything like it. He kept them in stock for me. And so I'm coming home on a Sunday night in the middle of the hills of Tennessee. There are no houses. I'm on a back road. I have no cell phone. I am driving with a piece of paper with my directions. Yes, I'm that old. And so I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I hear that awful sound. I know the sound. And all of a sudden, the car stops. I pull it, edge it over on the side of the road, and I get out like any brave human would with my flashlight and open the hood. Everyone does that. You may not even know a thing about anything under there, but everybody does that. Makes you look smart. I opened the hood and I shined the light down in there, and sure enough, there's the belt. It's pieces. It's wrapped up all down in there. That van is not going anywhere. I am no place close to a business or a home. I'm alone. I shut the hood, got back in the van. I could hear the coyotes howling. It's like a horror story. I'm sitting behind the wheel, and I said, well, Lord, it's just you and me. No one knows where I am. It's the middle of the night. I can't get out and walk anywhere. It's you and me. And I'm doing your work. I'm doing your business, so I need you to take care of my business. I need you to put an angel under this hood to hold that belt all back together in one piece until I can get home. In Jesus' name. I stuck the key in. I said, in Jesus' name. She purred like a kitten. I drove that van all the way home into the driveway. The next morning, I took my girls to school. I drove 45 minutes one way. I was teaching in a Christian school, and they were in school. And I drove 45 minutes back that night. And you know what? I completely forgot. I went 2 weeks on that belt with that angel under the hood holding it together. 2 whole weeks. I'm in town one day, and the Lord said, what about the belt? That angel wouldn't be called off duty. So I drove into Norm's parking lot, and Norm came to the door, and he said, you need a serpentine belt, right? I said, yes, Norm, that's exactly right. He said, give me your keys. He walked out in the parking lot and opened the hood, and he came back in, and he said, how did you get it here? I said, Norm, I drove it. He said, no, you didn't. He said, you just don't want to tell me that you didn't call my tow truck. Who towed you here? I said, Norm, nobody towed me here. I told him the story. He looked at me like I fell out of a tree when I said, there's been an angel under the hood for 2 weeks holding that belt together until I finally remembered to get it fixed, because that's the kind of Jesus I serve. Why wouldn't I believe him to take care of what's going on in our world right now? He knew this was going to happen. He's already got the answer. The answer's on the way. All we got to do is disquiet our soul, have a quarrel with your soul, and say, wait a minute. I'm going to praise him through this. And on the other side of it, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to remember what God has done. And he's going to do it again. Hallelujah. He's going to do it again. He will. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He gives good gifts to his children. I'm so glad that I was privileged to have a good dad. Because my dad was an example to me of how much Jesus loves me. It's hard for some people to step into how much Jesus loves them if they have a father that's abusive. So we have to retrain our minds if we didn't have a good example in a dad, and leave that at the foot of the cross and build a relationship with your dad, your heavenly dad. My dad was a hard worker. He worked 2 jobs to keep the family going so mom could stay home with us. We didn't see him a lot. Dad didn't say, I love you a lot, but I knew he did. Dad could take care of anything. When the leg fell off my Barbie doll, and I knew I was going to be in trouble because it was a brand new one, and mom said, don't play so rough with things and don't tear up everything. And I was making her twirl on the record player. And some of you have done that. And I snapped her leg off. And I took her out and I said, Dad, Mom's going to kill me. She's going to kill me. I snapped Barbie's leg off. My dad said, bring her over here. He put her up on, he called the workbench. Turned on his light, put on his glasses. He got a screw and a drill. He did surgery on Barbie. He said, now she's handicapped. She's not going to be able to twirl anymore. So just go easy. I had that Barbie for years. Mom never knew. I kept a nice Pentecostal dress on her. Mom never knew. Dad could fix anything. My dad could take care of anything. When mom wouldn't let me do something, and kids should never play their parents against each other. But they learn that behavior from their parents. Dad, mom won't let me. I'll take care of it. She won't let me. I'll take care of it. My dad would take care of anything because he loved me. You can't comprehend how much Jesus really loves you until you get in a mess. That's when you learn his love for you. My dad was not a gift giver. We didn't have a lot of money, but he came in one Valentine's Day. And he had Valentine hearts. There were three of us girls. I was the baby. And Mom. He had four of these. I was 6 years old. The only chocolate I'd ever had was a Hershey bar. And usually just a square or two. When Dad said, "I brought you some chocolate," he sort of pitched them at us. "Happy Valentine's Day." I remember grabbing that up real quick and racing to my room. Because I knew what would happen. They would take it away from me. I'd get one piece and then they'd take it. Or they'd make me share it. And so this was mine, my own chocolate. My very first chocolate that belonged to me. I ran in my room and I jumped up on the bed and I was so excited to open it. And I was hurrying because I was going to eat as many as possible before they caught me. And I remember sitting in the middle of the bed and taking the lid off of that chocolate. And, you know, there is nothing like the aroma of that piece of paper. I think I'll make me a mask out of that. Makes you want to wad it up and chew it. And that smell lasts forever. Don't throw it away. I remember it like yesterday. I looked into that box of chocolates. And I thought, I'm going to eat three or four of these right now before they come take it away. I'm sitting in the middle of my bed and I grabbed out the first little round chocolate I saw and I popped it in my mouth. And I started chewing and I got the surprise of my life. Because somebody had put orange bumpy stuff inside of a perfectly good chocolate. Why in this world would anyone do that? And I'm all alone. And even though I'm all alone, I won't spit it out. Because when I was a little kid, we didn't spit stuff out. Because there were starving children in Ethiopia. We ate what was set before us. And we ate all of it. Now, kids say, "I don't like what you fixed for dinner." "Okay, babe, you can have some chicken nuggets. Okay, we'll get you a Lunchable." Not when I was a kid. They didn't like kids back then. We ate everything that was set before us. And I was sitting on my bed all alone. I had that conscience about me. And I was chewing that orange bumpy stuff. It was disgusting. And I can hardly bear it because I'm so disappointed. That's the word. I'm disappointed. Why in the world would Daddy buy me this nice box of orange bumpy stuff? I'm crying and crying. And my dad comes to check because they notice I disappeared. And they know I'll probably eat the whole thing. And so Dad comes to the door and he knocks on the door. And when he knocks on the door, I don't answer. I mean, I'm in the middle of a puddle of tears. Some of you are not answering. God's knocking on the door. He's got an answer. He wants to talk to you. But you're not praying. You're crying. So when I didn't answer, Dad kind of eased the door open and looked in. And he had a smile on his face. You know, he's a little girl. He's just made me so happy. He bought me chocolates. That's what his smile said. God looks at us sometimes and says, "What in the world? I healed your foot. I fixed your car. I supplied your knees. You got a check in the mail. I lowered your blood pressure. I touched your mind. I soothed your conscience. I forgave your sins. I've done all the..." What in the world? What are you crying about? That's the look Dad had on his face. "What are you crying about? What's the matter with you?" I said, "Daddy, it's awful. It's just awful." He said, "What in the world? What's the matter?" He sat down on the side of the bed and he got out his big bandana handkerchief and he helped me blow my nose and wipe my tears and he gathered me up in his arms and I'm still holding the chocolate in my hands. And I said, "Daddy, it's just terrible. I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. I ate one and it's got orange bumpy stuff in it. Daddy, I don't like them." And I'll never forget the look on my dad's face. It's something called a smirk. A smirk is a smile that says, I know something you don't know. What we're going through right now in our world, if we'll just stop moaning and crying about it and start saying, oh, soul, why are you disquieted? Why are you upset? Why are you crying? All of a sudden, you'll see that look on the face of our Lord. He's smirking. He's smirking at the church. He's thinking, what in the world is wrong with you? I'm using this thing. I didn't send it, but I'm using it. I'm getting you closer to me. I'm getting people ready to come up that aisle to be baptized, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm working on the lost, the backslider. I'm working through this. The Lord is smirking at us right now. It's time for us to have a quarrel with our soul. Yeah, I'm in Daddy's arms. He's wiping my tears, and he's so patient, but he's just smirking. And then Daddy lets me know. Pretty soon we're going to know what this was all about. We're in between the smirk and crying phase right now. But pretty soon Daddy's going to tell it all. He said, baby, there's something you don't understand. His ways are above our ways. Thoughts are above our thoughts. There's a mystery of godliness. We don't understand everything about him and how he's thinking and what he's doing. He said, baby, you think that every one of those chocolates have orange, cream, and nuts, don't you? Yes. Yes, Daddy. You think that this is going to go on like this forever, what's going on in our world right now, don't you? Yes, Daddy. We thought it'd be over in May, in June, in July. Yes, yes, Daddy. Well, baby, let me tell you something. I know something you don't know. That's just one piece in there. That orange cream with the nuts, they're not all that way. It's not all gloom and doom. I gave you a whole box of chocolates, and one is peanut butter, one's toffee, one's fudge, one's caramel. It's not always going to be this way. Really? Hope. We need a little hope. We need to have a quarrel with our soul until we get back our hope, till we get back our joy, till we get back our praise. I remember the, really, Dad? Really? He said, yeah, baby, that's the only one in there that with orange cream and nuts. But you just pick one out and let me tell you what to do, baby.
Oh, you do it too?
He said, you pick it up. Now they come with a thing in there that tells you what's what. I still don't really like to read it. I'd rather do this. He said, you stick your little pinky finger in the bottom. And you peek in there. And if it's orange, if it's nuts, if it's something you don't like, you don't have to eat it. But what I want you to do is put it back. Just put it back. You don't want me to throw it away? No. Just put it back. You don't like it? Just put it back. Okay, Dad. Now, Daddy, can I keep the chocolates in my room? Sure. I'm going to keep them under my pillow on my bed. I have two pillows. I'm going to keep them on the other side with my rock collection and my lucky rabbit's foot. Okay, baby. So I ate another chocolate, and he was right. It was wonderful. And then I put the lid on, and I hid him away in my secret place. Some of you forgotten about the secret place. That's only you and Dad knows where that is. And he visits you in the secret place. My dad knew where I put that. I hid it away in the secret place. You found your secret place of prayer at home during COVID. You have a place that you're going and getting alone with God, and you've renewed your relationship, and you're stronger than you've ever been. That's the purpose of all this. To get the church equipped to win the lost, because we're going to have an end time harvest. That shouldn't be news. That shouldn't be new news. We're getting ready to win the lost. He's equipping us. I put the lid on it and I put it away in my secret place. And whenever I wanted to get one out, I snuck it out and I put my finger in the bottom. And if it's something I don't like, I just put it back. Simple concept. Got something going on you don't like? It's orange, it's bumpy, it's pretty nasty. You're worn out with it. Tastes awful. Just put it back. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Dad'll take care of it. I kept putting the ones back. There was only like three out of all of them that I put my finger in and I didn't like them. And so I put them back. And I remember after school one day thinking, oh, I think I ate them all now. Went into my room and I pulled that heart out from under the pillow and it was empty. When I wasn't watching, very quickly, my dad came in and took care of them. Because dad will take care of anything. And what a lesson to a little girl. That all I need to do when life gives me orange bumpy stuff is put it back. Put it at the foot of the cross. Trust my Jesus, my Heavenly Father, who loves me more than anything, who loves you more than anything, who will give good gifts to His children, who already has the answer on the way. Just put it back. A child will relentlessly pursue until they get an answer. Can I have that, Mom? No. Can I play with that? No. Can I play with it after dinner? No. Every little bit. Can I? Until finally, Mom says, okay, take the squirt gun and take it outside and play with it. Why? Because they just wore her down. The Lord said to me when I was preparing this message, my people have worn me down. I've heard. Now if they'll just praise me. If they'll just disquiet their soul, if they'll have a quarrel with their soul, if they'll talk themselves off the ledge, if they'll encourage themselves in the Lord, if they'll get their hands raised, if they'll lift their voices, if they'll begin to praise me for the answer, then I will answer. I've already had the plan laid out. If they'll just praise me, I will answer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'll come to the keyboard, please, and play some soft music for me. Hallelujah. I'm sure the mint is long gone. Oh, I feel an anticipation. It's hit us. We're going to get in this altar today. We're going to wear our masks and do everything right, but we're going to praise real loud so we can hear each other through the mask. We're going to shake heaven today when we get in this altar. There's one more thing I need to tell you that I think is so, so wonderful. I looked up that word, disquieted. I don't really run Hebrew and Greek and all that stuff. I mean, I can barely speak English. But I looked it up in the Hebrew. I was so proud of myself. Disquieted means, in the Hebrew, it's pronounced ama. Disquieted. David kept talking about that. Why are thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? He says that over and over and over. Disquieted. I want to know what it meant. Disquieted means to growl like a bear. I read a little further because it was so interesting. Disquieted means when you don't have words. Anything ever happen and you just don't have words? You're just like, I don't even know what to say. This is so awful. I don't know what to say. Or this is so dumb. I don't know what to say. Or this is just so absurd. I don't know what. Disquieted. It means a hum or a moan within your spirit. Anybody been interceding through this time? A moaning? You go to pray and there's just something in your spirit that's churning. You can't find words. You're disquieted. That's the answer. That's what that is. Disquieted. Brother Lee Stone King said on a video that I watched recently, an interview, he said, I don't even know how to pray through this. All I want to do is just intercede, just moan. Our spirits have been disquieted. But see, the bear has a growl that a human perceives as being angry. If a bear growls at you, you're going to run. You're going to think he's going to bite me. He's going to hurt me because he's angry. But disquieted means hama, a growl, like a bear that's treed, a bear that's trapped. He can't get away. The enemy has treed him, and he's hanging on for dear life to the branch. His cubs, her cubs might be down below. He can't get to his den, to food or anything else. He's treed. He's stuck. Anybody felt stuck lately? Life has changed drastically, and we don't know how it's ever going to end or how we're going to get out of this. That's why we feel disquieted, like a treed bear. But he makes a very distinct sound when he's in that tree. What the world would think of as a growl is really not a growl at all. It's a moan. He's hanging in that tree and he's slobbering. He's crying. A big bear. He's holding on. He's looking down and he is moaning. The growl that he makes is actually the definition for disquiet. The Lord said, Vicki, that's where the church has been. We ever going to have church normal again? We're going to see the altars lined with people talking in tongues? Are the waters of baptism going to be troubled? How are we going to win our world? Our Bible study canceled because they're afraid of COVID. They don't want to be around people. You can't knock on people's doors and invite them to come to church. Everything's changed. My calendar looks nothing like it did last year. I was in 53 churches last year. This year, no one has kept their date. They're moving them all around, and they're open 1 minute and closed the next. And there are days that we feel like a treed bear. When will this end? I'm here to tell you today. It's going to end. The answer's on the way. And it's time to have a quarrel with your soul and say, wait a minute, I need to remember what God's already done. And I need to acknowledge that he's Lord of lords and King of kings. And I need to open up my mouth and worship with all my being. I need to worship with my hands and with my feet. I need to praise him for the answer that's on the way. And I need to have a quarrel with my soul today and let my soul know everything is going to be all right. It is well with my soul. Now, we're going to have an altar call, and we're going to use our social distancing. But I felt like in the night, the Lord showed me what we were to do today. We've got a big sanctuary. We've got aisles. And I want you to be as comfortable as you need to be and be where you want to be and social distance and wear your mask. But I want us to turn a corner today and not let this stop us anymore. We've been stifled. We've been quiet. We've been moaning. We've been watchful. We've been all kinds of other things. But now it's time to show the old enemy, you're not going to stop the church. God's going to have a church. You kidding? A little old mask? That's not going to stop us from worshiping, from praising. Oh, no, a little old mask, that's not going to keep us from winning the loss. Put that picture up there for me, please, that I gave you. Here's a lady that came to a hotel, checked in for the night, and we were having a training, leadership and Sunday school training in a room in the hotel. We had the door open. The power of God began to fall in that room. We had masks on. We were worshiping the Lord. There were people on the floor, laid out in the floor. I mean, but it was just us church folks. And all of a sudden, the lady in the lobby heard us. She stepped inside, and she couldn't help herself. She didn't walk in there and say, "Ew, what are these people doing? They're so weird. They're worshiping like that, and they're laying in the floor, and they're talking in another language, and that freaks me out." See, we have a misconception of what the world thinks of us. They still need to see us doing what we've always done when they come in these doors. She walked in, and we didn't stop. We didn't say, "Oh my, we might scare her." Oh no, we just kept talking in tongues and worshiping. And I kept kind of looking at her, and I thought, "Well, I'm not gonna attack her. I'm not going to freak her out. We're just going to keep doing what we do." And we kept watching. And all of a sudden, a young brother, he said to me, he said, "I've never done this before." But he walked over to her, and it was the leading of the Spirit. He laid his hand on her shoulder, and all of a sudden, the power of God hit him. And he bent over double, interceding, because babies are not born without travail. No one had ever travailed for her. It had to be done. He did a few minutes of travail for her. And the Lord said to me, "Now." I walked over to her and gave her a little dirty heart, clean heart message. Led her through the four steps of worship. And I want you to know, I wish I had sound. I wish I'd taken a video. Because she was talking in tongues so big and loud behind that mask. There was no mistaking what God did. The power of God got in her hands. It got in her feet. You can't stop this. You can't stop the church. They've always tried to stop the church, and it can't happen. God's going to have a church when he comes back. And it's our choice whether we're going to be a part of it. And praise and worship is what we do. So, I want you to stand with me. We're going to start out with something slow, and then get ready, because we're going to gear it up just in case the Holy Ghost gets in somebody's feet. Music is what we do. It's part of what we are. But I want you to step out in the aisles. If you're comfortable, come to the front. Leave some space. Make everybody comfortable. Because we're fixing to have a quarrel with our soul. We're going to settle some stuff right now. If you need the Holy Ghost, today is your day. The Lord's going to fill you. You're going to speak with other tongues. I want you to close your eyes. Lift your hands. And I want you to start crying out to God in praise and worship. "I'm part of the church, Jesus. And I'm going to worship you through this trial, through what I'm going through, personal things, worldly things. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to pray." Come on, lift your voices twice as loud. Come on, twice as loud. "I'm going to give you praise, Jesus, because you're fixing to show up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." Come on, our young people, you need to talk in tongues. Lift your voices and talk in tongues. Let the Spirit lead you today. Hallelujah.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.